TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Critically analyzing global affairs. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, coming to you live from the Mexican Davos, the anti-Davos, the greater reset here somewhere in Mexico, in Michoacán, Morelia. The other part is taking place in Texas and online. And I just listened to the closing speakers, Hannah Maria, who's coming from Spain. She's going to be with me live in person on TNT Radio with me here tomorrow. And she gave the speech before the close of Del Bigtree of the High Wire. And he gave a fantastic speech, which you can catch online. But first, some news. We got Elon Musk tweeting out today, the World Economic Forum is increasingly becoming an unelected world government that the people never asked for and don't want. And I guess they've responded. Davos has responded. Elon Musk also said he declined the invitation to WEF, but the spokesman for the forum stated that the billionaire was never even on the guest list. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to have to catch up on the Davos stuff later when I finish with the anti-Davos greater reset. What else do we have going on? The doomsday clock is going to be updated next week. An update is coming, representing the judgment of leading science and security experts about the perils of human existence. So they're going to announce that on January 24th. Where are we now? The hands of the clock are currently at 100 seconds to midnight. I'm guessing they'll move it closer to a minute to midnight. We'll see what happens there. And, here's just another example of why they would move it 1 minute to midnight. Taiwan has warned of worst case scenario. Beijing might make Taipei its scapegoat if it fails to notch other wins, the foreign minister claimed. I think I mentioned that the other day. They might use the Taiwan situation as a distraction, people were saying, from COVID fiasco and the economy. And Beijing is now more likely to attack Taiwan in the years to come. Taiwan is warning, and a lot of people are talking about 2027. And you know what's interesting? A lot of my past podcast guests have been talking about 2027. I talked to Brandon Weikart, who's an analyst in Washington, I think 2 years ago. He was saying the threat increases between 2025 and 2030. And I think he even mentioned that number, 2027. I've had Martin Armstrong, the renowned forecaster, on, also mentioned those years. So, maybe this third world war is planned. Who knows? But things are not looking good. And more bad news comes with the home building. I believe this is in U.S. KB Homes, a large home builder, just reported a 68% cancel rate, meaning that over two-thirds of home buyers walked away from their contracts in the quarter, leaving a massive pile up of inventory. So that's a 68% cancel rate. Last year, it was only 13%. So there's been talk of the housing bubble. Actually, I think I had on TNT last year, Jason Hartman, who's an expert in real estate, and you can check his stuff out. Just more bad economic news. And Argentina now is going to require, it's funny, I was talking to Hannah Maria, who will be my guest tomorrow. She flew in and just was saying how cool in Mexico, you can just buy a SIM without providing your name or anything. And Argentina now changing the rules to buy a SIM in Argentina, you're going to have to provide your biometrics. You won't be able to anonymously buy a SIM for your mobile in Argentina anymore. So we can see this trend happening. And in Mexico, they've been attempting to do this year after year. And thankfully, we've had enough pushback here in Mexico where those failed. But be sure they'll keep trying that again in Mexico and in other countries. And DeSantis has come out and proposed a permanent ban on mask and vaccine mandates in Florida. So Florida is not a bad place to move to if you like the sun, warm weather, hurricanes from time to time that can destroy your house, but also no COVID 1984. So there was the Prescribed Freedom event he held in Panama City. I haven't had time also to watch his presentation, but he's basically wants to permanently prohibit COVID 19 vaccine passports in Florida, ban on COVID vaccine and mask requirements in all schools, prohibiting masking requirements at businesses, and a permanent ban, all of these permanent bans on employers from hiring or firing based on mRNA jabs. I'll vote DeSantis for president. How about that? And when it comes to these days, now you have to think twice when you read the headlines. Nadal crashes out of Australian Open. For a second, I thought he had a cardiac arrest and crashed physically. But no, he lost the Australian Open. We're living in such crazy times that, so many people are just dropping like flies. You don't know what's going on anymore. And a reminder, we have our live chat, tntradio.live at the bottom right hand. You can chat with us live there. And also, we're always listening to you. If you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host you'd like to hear on TNT Radio, let us know. Topics you want us to touch on, just fill out the suggestion form at the top of tntradio.live. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
There's a lot going on, so it's important to stay informed and up to date.
Get ready, because here we go.
At the top, 30 minutes past, and when it breaks.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Busted. A popular news outlet has just been caught secretly publishing articles that were written by AI. And no, this is not an episode of The Twilight Zone or Black Mirror. Here with the full story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Rory. Hope you're having a good time down there at the anti-Davos. I'm kind of jealous you get to do that kind of thing. Excited to hear your guests across the next couple days. But let's get to the news here. This is so creepy and crazy, the timing on this. I am not even kidding. I was just having a private call last night with Brian McLean, a.k.a. Hesher. And before we ended the call, for some strange reason, I went on this narrative saying, you know, I highly suspect that media outlets have been using artificial intelligence to write some of their articles. And I felt this way for a couple of years now, just because I read so many articles, and I was doing my podcast called The Daily Ruckus. I was just reading articles. And after you do that for so long, like 2 years straight, like, you notice when something is kind of off, and something has certainly been off lately. Now we have proven it. In this case, it would be the popular tech news outlet CNET, who was recently outed for publishing artificial intelligence generated articles about personal finance for months now, without making any prior public announcement or any type of disclosure to its readers. What? So this was discovered by online marketer and authority hacker co-founder Gail Breton. He first made the discovery, posted it on Twitter on January 11th. He said that CNET started its experimentation with AI in early November 2022 with topics such as, what is the difference between a bank and a credit union? And what are NSF fees and why do banks charge them? Okay. To date, CNET has published about 75 of these quote-unquote financial explainer articles using AI, according to Breton. The byline for these articles was CNET Money Staff, a wording, according to Futurism.com, quote, that clearly seems to imply that human writers are its primary authors, end quote. Only when a reader actually clicks on the byline do they see that the article was actually AI generated. A drop-down description reads, and I'm quoting here, this article was generated using automation technology and thoroughly edited and fact-checked by an editor on our editorial staff. Okay. According to Futurism, the news sparked outrage and concern, mostly over the fear that AI-generated journalism could potentially eliminate work for entry-level writers and produce, well, the other problem is it could produce inaccurate information, but I would argue we don't need the AI to do that. One Twitter user said in response to Brighton's post, quote, "It's tough already because if you're going to consume the news, you either have to find a few sources you trust or fact check everything. If you are going to add AI written articles into the mix, it doesn't make a difference. You still have to figure out the truth afterwards," end quote. Another one wrote, quote, "This is great. So now soon the low quality spam by these big trusted sites will reach proportions never before imagined possible. Near zero cost and unlimited scale," end quote. Yeah. So a writer on crackberry.com worries that the use of AI would replace the on-the-job experience critical for aspiring journalists. The author wrote, "It was a job like that that got me into this position today. If that first step on the ladder becomes a robot, how is anybody else supposed to follow in my footsteps?" Good question. The criticism led to CNET's editor-in-chief, Connie Guglielmo, to respond with an explanation on its platform, admitting that starting in November 2022, CNET, quote, "decided to do an experiment to see if there's a pragmatic use case for an AI assist on basis, for an AI to assist on basic explainers around financial services," end quote. Apparently, CNET also hoped to determine whether, quote, "the tech can help our busy staff of reporters and editors with their job to cover topics from a 360-degree perspective to create the most helpful content so our audience can make better decisions," end quote. Wow. Okay, so what do you think about this, Harori?
By the way, just to correct you, you could have gone to Texas to attend the Greater Reset there. So for your future reference. But I've been getting to my Geopolitics and Empire podcast email a lot of these scams. I had an issue with my spam bot I need to fix. So now I'm getting a flood of emails, but all talking about this same stuff. Have AI write for you. It's tempting. You know, it would be tempting, but it wouldn't be authentic, and I wouldn't be want to be caught with my hand down the AI cookie jar. And I did read that article the other day, that prediction by 2025, I think they said 90% of what written articles would be done by AI. So this is a trend I've been mentioning. I remember talking about this 5 years ago with my students. I would kind of do what I do at the beginning of the TNT show or with you. I would cover the news for like 1, 2, or 3 minutes at the start of every class. And I was looking at the trends back then that AI would replace not just journalists, but teachers as well. So I got out of the teaching business early, you know, just preventatively. But I mean, in any case, whether it's AI or some MSM journalist, they're just producing junk at this point. Who reads MSM anyways? I guess that's the way things are going, and I think we you and I need to worry about beyond that. If AI can start producing, you know, these audio, we might be out of a business, Sarakis.
Harvori, I have some very bad news for you. You're going to have to go back to alternatecurrentradio.com and listen to last week's Boiler Room, because we did report on such a thing. It does exist. I think I'm going from memory here. It's called Vol-E. And I think all you have to do is give it three minutes or three seconds. Either way, it's frightening. It just needs a little bit of an audio sample, and it can 100% recreate someone's voice. So it's already happening. So I hope TNT Radio is listening, and they love us very much, and they love working with human beings. And because otherwise, you and I are straight up out of a job.
I can always go sell tacos, but they're going to probably make that automated. So what else can we do, Ruckus? I'm running out of ideas as to my. I was honestly going to open a taco restaurant in Croatia before all of this happened, and it seriously is one of my plan Bs in Mexico. But what do we do when, you know, the food business is automated. The journalism, podcasting, radio business is automated. Do you have any idea?
I have a sneaky suspicion there's going to be a transitory kind of opportunity, kind of like what I was reading about in this article where they said it was being, you know, checked and edited by human beings. I think we'll see a lot of that. So we'll see like the machines writing the bulk of the article and then human editors going in there and like cleaning it up so that discerning folks like you or I won't be like, ah, this was written by a bot, not a human. So that's probably where we're headed with this for a little while.
But if you listen to my chat yesterday with Terry Wolf up in Canada and him talking about his Canadian VP, Chrystia Freeland, who was talking about how the Western middle class needs to disappear to make way for the Indian and Chinese middle class. And so those jobs might be available, as you said, but we'll be getting paid minimum wage to do that ruckus. But I guess something is better than nothing, right? All right, we'll catch up with you second hour. And I have my guest here live with me. In person, I think this is the first time I've done this. Johnny Hoddle, he'll be with us right after the break.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
Davos is in session. Try not to be too nauseated. The guest list is bigger than ever this year. There's tons of heads of state. All sorts of people are converging in Switzerland at the World Economic Forum to bask in the glow of Klaus Schwab and his new normal. They're all very jazzed up from the success of the pandemic. They're all really excited about all the progress that was made during the pandemic, and they're especially excited about all the thousands of people that have died suddenly. This is a source of great joy at Davos. There's a lot of glee. They're wringing their hands, hoping to see a few more 100,000 dead over the next few months, maybe over the next year. In that way, they can sort of gauge how well they did in their rollout of the experimental pharmaceutical cocktail. So, of course, Pfizer and everybody else is there. They're clinking champagne glasses. They cashed in their shares, the stocks. Everybody's chalked up their billions, and there's dead bodies dropping like flies as we speak. And they're all very, very excited about this.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Info at your beck and call.
An earful of information.
Driving the news cycle.
Just tell your smart device to play
TNT Radio.
All right. Joining me is Johnny Hoddle. That's not his real name. He's going to remain mysterious. And he's a freedom maximalist. He's a host of the Staying Free podcast, which is an excellent podcast. He originally comes from the UK, but he has escaped to Mexico here with me. You can find all of his stuff, linktr.ee/Johnny Hoddle. That's JonnyHoddle. In fact, one of his early guests on his Staying Free podcast was our very own TNT Radio's very own Rick Moon. Welcome to TNT Radio, Johnny.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. It's nice to be on your show. Been on TNT before, but I'm working my way around the different presenters.
Who have you been on with?
I've been on with Darren Denslow is my last one. And before that, I was on with Rick as well.
So now you're on with me on the Hawaii Muere show. So now you've been on three TNT Radio presenters shows. And so you gotta keep going. You got to see how
That's
many.
It. I'm working. It's like a bingo card. I'm just going to work my way around.
Well, we got a new show. I forget his name. He's a former MEP from the UK. And because you're from the UK, so you should get on his program, I think.
Oh, it's not
with Max. No.
I was going to say there's a guy who was a UKIP MEP who he's got a YouTube channel and he's actually great. But I
Nigel Farage.
No,
Godfrey Bloom.
It's not Godfrey, is it?
I've had him on my podcast. But it's James. Oh, okay. I believe it's James. Right, James Freeman.
Oh, James Freeman. No, okay. I don't know.
So you're going to have to.
All right, but I'll find out just to be on the show.
Okay. All right. Well. A lot is going on. We're here at the Greater Reset, and the first day was had met my expectations. It was funny. I was walking around the section where all the tables are and people with their selling their stuff or ideas. And I come upon Etienne de la Boissière Squared. I didn't see, he wasn't there. I'm like, I see his books and I've been wanting to buy them because it's hard to buy them online to Mexico. And then he walks, he was on my, on this DNTA show half a year ago, like in the summer. And then right next to him, I see this dude with a long beard. I'm like, I recognize this guy. Wait, that's Corey who was also on my TNT show last year. And so I'm going to have them, I'm going to record a podcast with them over the weekend. But how have you been seeing things so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a new experience for me coming here. I didn't come to, did you come to the last one as well? Or is this?
Oh, it was my first time.
This is your first. Yeah, yeah. So I wasn't kind of exactly sure what to expect. But yeah, I mean, obviously every day has like a different theme. So today, I think the theme is liberate your mind, body, and soul. So this one, there was, you know, quite a lot in the way of like holistic health and that kind of stuff. Yeah, definitely like some really interesting talks. The main one I wanted to see today was Alex Zek, because, you know, I've been kind of following what he's been doing for a while. And I think that, you know, he kind of has some really interesting stuff to say. I'm not sure where I stand on the whole kind of terrain theory versus germ theory stuff. But, you know, I definitely think that he has some interesting points on that. But yeah, I went to, just dropped into a few other things. I actually didn't know too much about the final speaker, who was, remind me.
Del Bigtree.
Yeah. I've seen kind of videos of him floating around, but I haven't paid too much attention, but he kind of had a very passionate speech and, you know, kind of really got people going. So yeah, it was a good day. Definitely a good day.
Del blows the roof off the place. And it was funny, last night, I met him when I was in the elevator, I think, coming back from dinner, and I was with him for, I talked to him for like about 60 seconds. I have this knack now. Catherine Austin Fitz was going to be speaking virtually, I think in tomorrow or the next day at Greater Reset. I met her on an airplane. I spoke to her for like a minute at the baggage claim here in Mexico. So I've met Catherine Austin Fitz. I've met now Del Bigtree, always in the elevator or, you know, some random place like that. I wonder who I'm going to bump into next. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. The thing that I'm also taking away, that's, you know, my advice, I guess, would be, it's not just listening to the speakers, but like I just said, the networking experience. I've been spending like a fourth of my time missing some talks just out in the hallway, meeting Etienne Boissier, Corey. I just sponsored Corey's Liberty newspaper with my Geopolitics and Empire podcast. So it's like this networking that you can't get unless you meet people in person. And even Corey was saying that he, for a while, he's sort of been bored. He hasn't been attending these events and he's like getting charged up. And so I find value in meeting so many people. And I know you just got here. It's your, I think you came a bit late, but you know, your thoughts on networking and meeting people in real life.
Yeah, to be honest, like so far today, I've not done very much of that at all. You know, aside from people who I've kind of already met before and just, you know, in passing, like Derek. Derek obviously was on my podcast before. So I kind of met Derek, you know, not met him in person before, but I've not done much in the way of networking so far. Cause yeah, we got here pretty late and we just kind of went straight into and started listening to some talks and stuff. So yeah, I definitely want to do more of that. And you know, we've got a big kind of like, I guess it's not big, but kind of a small park outside, like right across. And, you know, there's a load of people just kind of like hanging around there. And it looks like a good place to just hang and talk with like-minded people. We went out to like a vegetarian buffet when it was at lunch. And it was kind of filled with people as well from there. I think like almost every person in that place was from that event. So yeah, it's good to see, you know, people coming out to Morelia, which I imagine, you know, is a place that doesn't get quite as much tourist traffic and stuff normally. And like you said, you know, it's interesting having the opportunity to meet so many people, because I really feel like this community has become much more kind of close knit over time. And you know, you're almost never more than 1 or 2 degrees separation from someone. I was actually talking to someone who'd written a book. Her name is escaping me now, but she's written a book about kind of homeschooling and world schooling, I think they call it. And I asked her about Daniel Prince, which was someone who I had on my podcast, and she knew Daniel Prince. And, you know, they're kind of like two really big people who are writing about that kind of thing. So it's almost like you can just, you know, suggest a name to someone like, oh, do you know this person? And they tend to either know them or they've worked with them or they've, you know, certainly at the very least they'll kind of be aware of them. So it's just really interesting. Everyone's kind of filling their own little niche in this community, but an event like this really brings like a lot of different people together. And, you know, at the end of the day, like all under this kind of shared ideology of just self-sovereignty, you know, individual choice, like individual freedom, etc., which obviously is the exact opposite of the event which is taking place right now in Davos. I want to say the Great Reset, but it's not actually called the Great Reset. It's called the, remind me, what's their event called?
In
the World Economic Forum. Yeah. What's it called? What do they actually call the event? The World Economic Forum?
I think just World Economic.
Is it just Davos?
I think it's just World Economic Forum, and then they have different themes. The big theme, we were talking about this on TNT the other day, new system. Like they got five themes and every theme is like new system for this, new system for that.
So they do these different themes per day as well.
Yeah.
Because I've never like tuned in and seen how it works. The only thing is I see those videos that you see on Twitter where it's just
painful to tune in to the real Davos, but you sort of have to do it because they're telegraph. We were playing clips on my show yesterday here on TNT, if people recall, with Terry Wolf, and one guy was some Swiss functionary making the case that we should create 15-minute cities and convince people to take their car. He literally said basically that we want people to be convinced that we should remove their cars from them and not make it feel like it's forced. But we're going to have to jump to our news break. Johnny will be right back.
Big news.
Story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has said the West should supply Ukraine with any weapons it needs, including advanced systems, for use in its conflict with Russia. The Western Australian Police Union has warned the state's police force is facing critical shortages after 500 police resigned or retired last year. President Joe Biden's Justice Department reportedly permitted the president's personal attorneys to search for classified documents in separate locations without security clearances or the FBI present.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're back, coming to you from the Mexican Davos here in Morelia at the Greater Reset. One of the speakers, actually, I was Derek Broz's partner, Miriam, who said, let's call this the greatest reset. And so we're here talking about that. A lot is going on. It's an interesting event. And like I said, it met my expectations, but we're here with Johnny Hoddle. That's his real name. No, just kidding. Not really. But just real quick, tell us, I know this is your third time on TNT, but you know, it's a 24-hour program. There's so many shows. Not everyone can tune in to every single show, but you've got your Staying Free podcast if you want to tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, when I started Staying Free podcast, I think it might have been a similar time that TNT actually started. I'm not sure kind of like which one came first. But yeah, like really when I started that up, it was just a matter of I wanted to start having kind of conversations with people that were really off Twitter was one of the main things I wanted to achieve, because so many people were just, you know, their only way of kind of putting out their message was just in these kind of 280 characters or whatever it was. And I just wanted to kind of get off that system and actually have longer form conversations, because a lot of people, they'd built up a following and had kind of created, you know, quite a community for themselves, you know, and quite a following. And I thought, well, you know, it'd be good to actually have conversation with these people in longer form to share their ideas. So I just kind of like started saying, okay, I want to talk to this person, and just kind of like working my way through. And it kind of just started with me just reaching out to people on Twitter. And then it still really is that. I mean, it's still kind of, that's all I want to do is just have conversations and talk about ideas really, but just get people off that platform. And now it's good to see, obviously, obviously there was always like various podcasts going on, but since I've started the podcast, I've learned about more and more, and TNT obviously being a big example where it really is kind of just this, I guess, crucible for you know, lots of different voices to come together and share ideas and stuff. So, you know, we were just saying then when we're kind of during the break, like it's pretty amazing that we're here, like sat opposite each other in a hotel room in Morelia, like, you know, doing this this podcast, this radio show, like in person with, you know, very little equipment. We basically just, you know, not got any kind of like major studio set up here. But I really think that this is going to be the future of media because, you know, the traditional media institutions have proven themselves to be completely untrustworthy and, you know, completely in the pockets of, you know, big government and, you know, big corporations. So this is the answer, really. And I think that people don't mind if there's a little bit of kind of lack of polish, shall we say, here and there, because people actually, they want truth and they want integrity. And I think that they are going to be the values that are going to win out in the new kind of media world that we're building.
Yeah, you're going toward my next question. And actually, Del Bigtree, he was right in his speech that he just gave. He said, look how this theater was filled up, this theater in the middle of nowhere. And in some ways, if you think about it, you know, Morelia, Michoacan, it is sort of the middle of nowhere. But, you know, the theater's, you know, pretty filled up here. And then we got the event in Texas and then online. And yeah, like you said, it used to be all you need is, who said it? Three chords and the truth. And now all you need is two mics, a laptop, and the truth. And it's funny because on your Staying Free podcast, you've had the successful British businessman on, I think, Matt Hubba, right?
Yes, Matt Hubba.
Yeah, he's going to be speaking at Greater Reset as well. And of course, you had Derek Brozon, who's speaking and running the event with John Bush. But what else along? Oh, and your podcast. Like, I'm always looking for good quality content. And I found you. I found randomly your stuff before I learned about the guests you were having on. And I subscribed and bookmarked you. And again, I like the stuff that you're doing. So it's worth people checking your stuff out. But what I get from you is you feel really psyched about this space. I feel you're energetic and passionate about podcasting and like stuff that TNT Radio is doing. I mean, there are different forms, right? You've got podcast, internet radio, there's people who do terrestrial radio, all these new formats coming online. And just, you know, any further thoughts on, and, you know, there are some issues. There is a bit of a saturation of podcasts. I can't even consume the content that I really want to consume. I don't have time anymore. And I feel just by the sheer amount of information, people have to start producing shorter content. I think that's just a natural consequence. So whether it's text, I mean, people can write 500 page books. I'd like to write a book in the future, but I thought it would have to be something more concise. Just your thoughts on this space going forward, and just also the bit of the saturation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing for me is, I mean, I'm not too worried about the things being oversaturated, because I think that it's every individual's kind of responsibility ultimately to just say, okay, I'm gonna stop listening to this, or I'm not gonna read this. I'm gonna only listen to these things because I just only have so many hours in a day. So I think that every individual is gonna rationally make that choice, and I think that, you know, the main thing for me is this whole space has become so much more decentralized. I like things that seem to be trending towards more decentralization. And there's very few things in the world that actually seem to show that that's the kind of trajectory they're going on. And I think that with what's happening in the alternative media space, especially since COVID, I think that a lot of people finally kind of found the kind of will to just totally break from the traditional forms of media that they were consuming before. You know, I mean, personally for me, and I think it was the case for a lot of people, you know, when this whole thing started, you were kind of like sitting watching, you know, BBC News or wherever it was, like begging for them to tell the truth, begging for them to, you know, bring some doctor on that you knew that was kind of talking about, you know, different points or whatever. And when it just never happened, I think a lot of people just said, why are we doing this anymore? You know, and we started kind of building our own, you know, media institutions. And I think that in the UK, I mean, I'm not sure how kind of familiar you are with the UK kind of environment, but like really we had this thing called Talk Radio, and that was like the big alternative thing. That was the kind of the anti-lockdown voice essentially. And then we went from that, and then really it was still a little bit kind of too soft touch. And then we had GB News, which actually kind of went in a bit more. And then, you know, TNT for me is almost like a kind of, it goes even further than that. It's like, what can't be said on GB News? Well, you can get that on TNT, you know, and I hope that obviously TNT will maintain that position. But, you know, if TNT at some point says, hey, you know what, like we got quite big and we're going to have to not talk about these certain things. Well, the next thing will come along. I'm confident that it will, because I think that ultimately now people are saying, right, I want the truth, no matter what that means. And if that means I've got to listen to a podcast that's only got, you know, 100 listeners, because that's where I'm going to get something uncensored and something that's going to be real, then that's fine. You know, I'm kind of happy for decentralization and truth seeking. Kind of, they almost come hand in hand. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well, that once institutions, organizations get to a certain size, I think it's a bit, there's a science to it. I don't know what you call it, entropy or what, yeah. Where I think of Metallica, it just comes to mind. I've seen them play live. I was a huge Metallica fan. And you saw them in the 80s when they had nothing. And they were young and passionate and probably, you know, reading all this stuff you see in these songs, you know, was H.P. Lovecraft, Cthulhu, and all of these ideas, the height of their, you know, creative juices, they're pumping, they're churning out, you know, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, Justice for All, Black Album. And then you see eventually there's, and then they get a load of money, they get older, right? And I think when you get to that age, that's that science where you physically cannot, I think, produce anymore. And I think the same with any organization. Or I think about InfoWars, right? Alex Jones. And I used to listen to him in the 2000s. And what I loved, he was edgy, passionate, and interviewing a lot of people. And I've noticed over the years, he's lost a little bit of that edge, interviewing less people. He got more money. And so I think that's just a natural thing. And yeah, I hope TNT keeps its edge. And what about Mexico? So it looks like we talked a bit about this. You were on my podcast, and you know, your thoughts, and I like what Derek Bros said. He also said this on my podcast. He said it today again at the conference, Greater Reset, that, you know, the point isn't, we're not saying come to Mexico. It's not for everyone. For some people, like myself, I've been here for 13 years minus a couple in Kazakhstan. I like it here. I was just chatting. I was talking about that with people today. And for others, you know, the U.S. is better for you, or maybe even Canada. But you just kind of figure out your sort of parallel structure there where you are. You know, your thoughts on Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Mexico, I completely agree with what you said. I think that, you know, ultimately, this stuff is kind of systemic. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's baked into the cake, essentially, with this tyranny we're seeing around the world. It's going to come everywhere. And the places where it looks like there's going to be resistance, you know, like thinking of some kind of African nations, well, all of a sudden, you know, their president, you know, suddenly has health issues or whatever. So really, you know, you're never too far away, even though Mexico has kind of held out quite well against the tyranny. You never know. Like, it's some small thing could happen, some small intervention by, you know, people, you know, in shadowy places, and all of a sudden that could change overnight. So I think the important thing is to actually change the way that people are thinking about these problems. And what I love about what Derek's doing with the Greater Reset, and obviously it's not just happening here, it's happening in Texas as well, is it's all about ideas. It's all about ideas that can be used anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in, you know, Europe or Australia or Canada or wherever. You can implement these ideas. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is teaching people to become more self-sovereign, teaching people how to become more free in their own lives. So, you know, for what Derek's doing, like in terms of, you know, he kind of made an announcement today about a project that he's got going, which is essentially a kind of, he's calling it the Conscious Agora, which is, you know, essentially a totally off-grid community where they're going to live, you know, I mean, you'd have to watch the video. I believe the video is going to be put, he'll probably be put up on the Greater Reset website or somewhere like that. But essentially what he's doing there, that I feel is going to be probably easier to do in Mexico. Land is cheaper. It's much easier to actually, you know, buy a plot of land and to actually experiment in that way. So I think that it's that Mexico is a useful thing for him to kind of carry out that project. However, once he's done it, those kind of like that learning, you know, can be shared with anyone. And then maybe someone wants to go and do it in Arizona, or someone wants to do it in, you know, New Mexico or wherever. So I think that Mexico is a good kind of testing ground for some of these ideas of alternative living. But yeah, you know, it's by no means the only place that these kind of stuff can be done. And, you know, definitely shouldn't be that way either. This is stuff that should be kind of rippled out across the whole world. You know, it's all about sharing ideas, really.
Yeah, you'll live happily ever after in your conscious agora. And even here at the hotel, you see the QR. This is the thing that takes, I don't do QR codes. And like everything's now QR code. You want to see the directory, the menu. It's all just freaking QR codes. But it was interesting. Sitting next to me at the start of the conference was an older Mexican couple, and I was chatting with them, and apparently they're the ones operating the translation interpretation service, and they were telling me they've got a kid that that's an adult now but doesn't want to live in the U.S. and is coming back to Mexico. They understand all of these things that are happening, and it's funny, the lady, the wife, asked me, "Are you a believer?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." But that was another point. The second talk today was talking about, it was funny, it was talking about meat and how veganism doesn't work. I don't think you caught it, but I think
the second talk.
Yeah, the second talk in the morning. But I think that's the point where there's a lot of people here that are like vegan or vegetarian or meat, and even Derek Bros made that point. There's, you take what you want. You know, maybe like you'll dismiss this guy saying that, but then, and I do the same with other stuff as well, but there's something that you can, you know, you can learn from, you can always learn from different things, to take your pick. We're going to jump to our break again. You can find Johnny's Staying Free podcast. Just type Staying Free podcast, or just go to his linktr.ee/Johnny Hodl, like hodling crypto or Bitcoin. And he's on Odyssey, YouTube, and all the podcast platforms. We'll be right back on TNT.
Have we advanced, or are we still trying to appease the Earth gods?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Actress Ellen DeGeneres has found the cause of California's recent heavy rains and floods. And no, it's not a scientific reason. Let's let Miss DeGeneres explain. You heard it. Mother Nature is not happy with us. We need to be nicer to Mother Nature to prevent bad weather. One person on Twitter summed it up nicely. This is what people used to say before throwing people into volcanoes. What Hollywood, our government, the United Nations, and much of academia is now doing is essentially trying to appease Earth gods to bring better weather through UN Paris agreements, net zero emissions, and the Green New Deal. It's time to reject Earth-worshipping paganism and return to science. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Today, I have given formal notice to Russia in accordance with the treaty that the United States of America is withdrawing from this almost 30-year-old treaty. That was President George W. Bush's announcement in December 2001 that the United States would withdraw from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, which commenced in 1972. TNT Radio reviews this news again, more than two decades later, as a poignant reminder as to why the situation in Ukraine is so dire today. The mainstream media has failed to explain why the US withdrawal from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty has led to increased tensions between the world's nuclear superpowers and the current crisis in Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin has repeatedly condemned the United States for withdrawing from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty.
Today, I have given formal notice to Russia, in accordance with the treaty, that the United States of America is withdrawing from this almost 30-year-old treaty.
Russia's concern of U.S. nuclear weapons encroaching on its borders is legitimate. How would the United States react were the tables turned and Russia had a military alliance with Mexico?
A cashless society means zero cash. 100% digital currency means your life is 100% dependent on a power surge and the internet. Every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
We're back on our final segment with Johnny Hodl of the Staying Free podcast. This is his third outing on TNT, first with Rick Moon and Darren Denslow, who's joined us recently, and now myself. I've been here since March, I think, on TNT, coming up on 10 months, almost a year. Wow, time flies, crazy. another thing I thought was interesting today, and maybe this is more up your alley, some of the stuff that's been discussed was ayahuasca,
I was hoping
psychedelics.
I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Yeah, we had earlier a couple from New York talking about psychedelics, and then Hannah Maria, who's very much into this stuff, she'll be with me here tomorrow. That sort of stuff. That's really not my alley. I'm interested to listen to it, but you know, what are your thoughts? And actually, in fact, I think they're going to have workshops that are taking place after the conference these days. I think there will be one on ayahuasca. Actually, the first guest speaker, Kurt Robinson, who lives down here. I think his name is Kurt Robinson. He's moved down to Mexico. He does retreats that I guess, I don't know if they do ayahuasca or what, but just your sort of thoughts on this and anything related to it.
Yeah. It's definitely, there was quite a lot of that today. And, you know, I'm totally on board with all that stuff. I mean, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, psychedelics can be used, you know, as a tool to kind of like heal trauma and that kind of stuff. You know, I wouldn't call myself any kind of like psychonaut expert by any means, but, you know, certainly I've experimented and, you know, I definitely think that used in their proper context, they can be really good. So I actually missed the first talk about psychedelics, which I didn't arrive in time for that one, which was called Embodying Sovereignty Through Psychedelic Healing. That one sounded really, really interesting. I caught the second one though with Hannah Maria, which was all about, it was called Why Plant Medicines Must Be Kept in Their Original Ceremonial Context. And it was kind of essentially talking against using psychedelics, you know, just putting them into drugs, putting them into pills, you know, people kind of going and taking them in clinics and actually saying, no, you know, these plant medicines should be used, you know, ceremoniously. Yes. Okay. That'll do. So yeah, I thought that was a good message and, you know, I definitely agree with it. So I do think these things come together. You know, ultimately I think that things like psychedelics can put you more in touch with, it can kind of like self, it can course correct, I think, for some of the things that society causes in our minds, essentially, you know, the way that society is and is structured. I think that it kind of moves us away sometimes from kind of caring about the real things in life and, you know, having purpose and all these kind of things. And I think that psychedelics, I'm not saying that's the only tool to get there, you know, I'm sure that there's other ways to do it, but I do think that used properly, like psychedelics can be useful. And I think it's sharing information about that is really good as well, because, you know, obviously, if you just go with the government way of doing things, they will just kind of ban anything like this, you know, anything that can't be, you know, that's a bit scary or can't be kind of controlled or put into a pill or, you know, can't be used as some kind of pharmaceutical medicine, they just throw out immediately. But I do think that there's a lot of value to be had from these things. So it's good for those conversations to be happening at these events as well.
Yeah, and just another thing, when you do come to something like Greater Reset, I mean, there is that cliche. It's true. I mean, it is true. It's that the first millisecond I walked in, it's like, oh yeah, it's the total stereotype. Like you see Rastas and hippies, and you smell the incense and that sort of culture. Not everyone, but there's a lot. You know, there's a lot of that stuff there. And Hannah's talk, she calls it neo pharma, I think. And there's a lot of I agreed with not everything, but still she did explain some things extremely well and in ways that I haven't heard other people talk about mentioning. And I think she's right that our bodies are the final, there's not nowhere else, this is global imperialism, there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah,
they've taken over the entire planet, economic system, political system, and biomedical state, biosecurity, it's our bodies, like literally into our organs, changing our DNAs. And so, and that gelled well with what Del Bigtree was talking about, the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve, and this idea that the knowledge of good and evil, having that knowledge means the danger of becoming arrogant and wanting to be God, which is what these people now are trying to do in Davos, this extreme hubris. And they're like little kids playing with nukes, and it's insane. And you know, one more thing that Derek Brose said, that the thought that I had about, you know, they bought land in Mexico, I think it said 2 hours outside of from here, 2 hours from Morelia and Michoacan, the conscious agora, and that's all good and great, and I want to have my own quote conscious agora somewhere, maybe.
Yeah, I'll wait for my invite when you do.
Yeah, in Jalisco, or I mean, I know some people that have already conscious agoras that you can join, but he was sort of, his idea was escaping like the matrix. I don't know if he actually used that term, but my internally, my response to that was, you're still in the matrix because you can't fully escape it, because you're buying land that has what do you call it, the title or whatever. You have to pay the property tax still to the government. You can't, I honestly don't think you cannot escape the matrix. You can do your best to get as to the edges of it, and like that's the best you could do, and that's what I'm trying to do, but I just feel like you can't fully escape it. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. You know, I do think though that you can try to get as close to it as possible. And I think that the main thing is to try and get people into that situation where, you know, you're proving through your actions that you can live in this kind of self-sovereign way, and that when you don't control other people, you know, I know that, you know, Derek is, you know, he considers himself a voluntarist and things like that. And, you know, I don't know whether I necessarily would consider myself a full voluntarist, but I definitely agree with it in principle, whether it can be done in practice. And this is a good kind of testing ground essentially for doing that kind of thing. But I agree, you know, essentially, you know, you still have to buy the land of governments, pay property taxes, all this kind of stuff. You are still in that paradigm. But I think the important thing is just to try to escape it as much as possible, and hopefully inspire other people through your actions. Because I think that if more people see, hey, you know, this is a great way to live, maybe, you know, maybe just doing the 9 to 5 and, you know, paying my taxes and, you know, getting a medical intervention every time the government says that I have to do it, and otherwise having my freedoms taken away and using QR code, maybe actually that's not the way forward. And I think that if you have people who are living outside of that, it will inspire more people to do it. And then, you know, over time, hopefully we can at least move more into a direction of people realizing that this is a better way to live, you know? So, I think it's all about inspiring people, testing out new ideas, but obviously, you know, you can't fully escape the matrix. I think that the matrix can be escaped in your own mind, but it can't necessarily be escaped physically. You know, you can essentially not agree with all the stuff that's going on, but you still are physically in that world. You know, you can kind of have that full freedom, self-sovereign mindset and do your best, but at the end of the day, when someone has all the guns, it's very difficult to fully embody that in the world.
Yeah, it's like buying time in a way, but it's still better than nothing. It's still better than remaining 100% in the matrix. You know, being 50% in the matrix is still better. Just decreasing the amount
it's opting out, right? And that's that, I think, is the title of Derek's book, is opting out. I think it's something like opting out of the technocratic state. I haven't read it yet, but I plan to. And I think that's exactly what he goes into in that, which is just trying to take back one by one each one of these things that they've used as a tool to enslave you, and hopefully, you know, by the end of it, become as self-sovereign as possible. But obviously, there is no perfect world when, you know, we can just get as close as we can.
And you're living better. For example, I got an above phone from Ramiro, who's one of my podcast sponsors, and it's de-Googled. So I feel I can live better, you know, not having that profile created, you know, in that way by big tech, or, you know, if you buy your own land, you're growing your own food. That's, you know, how many less trips you're making to Soriana or Walmart or Costco or Sam's Club. I've got friends still that, especially some Christians, that they're like, all they do, they shop is Costco. And I'm like if they could win an award or a plaque that, you know, that for just everything's basically from Costco. And yeah, it's, sometimes I go, they've got some stuff I like, but I can't be such a dedicated customer to these big monopolist, you know, globalist corporations. And I think one of the keys is we have to, other people have said it. I think that's what Catherine Austin Fitz will talk about. We have to spend our money. John Bush said it, playing on the circular economy, that Malthusian, you know, Davos agenda. We have to be spending it in freedom. Businesses that support this idea of freedom. We're 2 minutes to midnight, and let's see, tomorrow we got Texas Slim, other folks talking. Jack Spirko, he's interesting, food security. A lot of stuff about farming, nature, organic, land stuff. So tomorrow is going to be pretty much like a food and land and nature day at the Greater Reset. Permaculture and food. Yeah, that's the theme. So, you know, any other thoughts for us?
I was just going to mention actually something that you were saying before about the mention or the kind of metaphor that was made by Del Bigtree about the taking from the tree. And it kind of reminded me also of the idea of, do not worship false idols, right? You know, this concept that what we're doing is totally different. We're not saying we want to control everything. You know, that is the people who are worshiping false idols. They're trying to kind of become God, right? It's trying to be an all-powerful entity. So whether it's kind of eating from the forbidden tree or whether it's worshiping false idols, they're all kind of getting at the same, quirk of human nature, which is this desire for power. And I think that what we're doing here is totally different. We're saying, let's give power to the people. Let's decentralize power. Let's not try to kind of, force our views on people. Let's not try to force violence on people. Let's do things by consent only. And, I think that's what we're doing with the greater reset. And, it's going really well so far. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, decentralize as much as we can and step as far away from the matrix as we can. All right, good stuff. I'll be coming to you the rest of this week from the Greater Reset. Again, linktr.ee/Johnny Hoddle, Staying Free Podcast. Subscribe, and I'll be back next hour. Stick around.